Welcome, Haunters. I'm your host, Ed Gannon, professional haunter, Something Wicked Productions, also Wicked Amusements. And in this episode of Something Wicked, we'll talk about the scary. If I had a dime for every time I've been talking to a potential guest or standing in front of a haunt and I hear the question, is it scary in there? Yeah, but is it really scary? I'd have a lot of dimes. The thing is, the answer to that question is literally as diverse as the individual who asks it. It's so subjective. Of course, there are broad strokes that most people are afraid of, and we can cover a good portion of those in our haunts and do it well. But every person has a secret fear, beyond the mainstream. Some fears overlap, sure, but there is one very personal thing that can set even the most stalwart guest on edge. We usually will never know what that personal trigger is, and that's okay. Sometimes the guest doesn't really have words for it either, but you can see it in their eyes sometimes. If you've been haunting for a while in front of guests, you have seen it. Someone comes up around a corner and they get that look. You haven't done anything different than you've done for previous guests, and yet something has set them off. Maybe it's a word you said or they heard. Maybe music or a sound. Maybe it's the atmosphere or the theme of the environment. Or maybe it's something they thought they saw in the dark that isn't even there. But now they are spooked. And for a short time, seconds, you have them.
I have you now.
To understand that a little better, let's look at the science of fear. Fear is an important primitive response designed to keep us safe, our own versions of spidey sense. It tells you there's something you need to pay attention to right now. That attention triggers several responses and has actual physical ramifications. The physical triggers are easy for us to see and feel. Pupils dilate, allowing us to see more clearly in low light. You start to sweat, which is different from regular sweat and carries hormones that may help alertness. You can actually smell fear on someone.
You know bees and dogs can smell fear?
Heart rate increases and blood pressure increases, redirecting blood away from intestines and towards skeletal muscles, getting them ready to fight or flight. Breathing deepens and your breath rate increases to bring more oxygen to muscles. Extreme conditions may cause the bladder to let go, getting ready to flee so it won't slow you down. Have you ever had to run when you really had to pee? You get the idea.
Shut up! I didn't pee my pants!
Another reaction may be to freeze in place with fear. A leftover from when we were prey and standing still made us harder to see. Literally, like a deer in the headlights. The release of neurochemicals and hormones causes changes for running or fighting. When stress activates the amygdala, part of your brain, it temporarily overrides conscious thought so that the body can divert all of its energy to facing the threat, whatever that may be. What makes humans' responses different to fear, different from other animals, is that people can process their fear and tamp it down once they consciously understand that they are not really in danger.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
This is where the fun comes in while being frightened. You can't enjoy it unless somewhere deep down you know you're actually safe, and this is an entertainment. Or is it?
Well, that's a relief.
This fun-slash-relief response they're enjoying is the chemical aftermath that follows a rush of fear, a feeling that can be euphoric. Dr. Catherine Brownlow, chief of the Division of Neurobehavioral Health at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, says, once the fight-or-flight signals cease, the brain releases neurotransmitters and hormones that mediate what we call the rest and digest system. The heart rate is coming down, the breathing is slowing, goosebumps are relaxing, there's a sense of internal cognitive relief in the body, and that feels good. And in my opinion, this is the sign of the perfect scare. Initial scare response, followed by relaxing the shoulders, breathing slows, then they smile or laugh. Perfect. Like my buddy Alan Hopp says, and I've been saying this as well for years, the haunted house industry provides a public service. A good old-fashioned scare can make some of the everyday fears we face seem less terrifying. It gives people perspective. If you're anxious about talking to your boss about getting a raise and then you get the crap scared out of you, talking to your boss is no longer a big deal. You can't scream about your kids or taxes at home or work, but you can come to us, scream your head off, and feel better. Now that you understand how that works, here's the scary part. Look for that look, that trigger. You can see it in body language, in their eyes, or what a guest says, or more importantly, what they avoid. Remember, SDAER. Search for it, detect it, analyze it, exploit it, repeat. Sure, it's clunky, and you can probably come up with a better acronym yourself, but you get the idea. So now you know you need a live interaction with guests to get the response that creates good reviews and memories, and you know why. This theory actually escapes many haunters.
Can you get it?
Now, the scary brain that overrides the logical, this is fake brain, usually is triggered by basic stuff like avoidance of being eaten or the threat of being physically hurt. I think most attractions focus on these, and they work. But there is another half to this that is even stronger. We all know how to chase someone with a chainsaw, which threatens physical damage and pain. But how do you tap into the greater fear of taking someone's self-control away? Being put in a position where you have no control over your environment or over what happens to you is secretly the greatest fear modern people have. Tap into that, and you have them.
Bro, just check in. They don't check out.
Good example is the debate over insane asylum haunts and whether they are not socially acceptable these days. Firstly, this is an attraction that is designed to scare people, push limits, and bring guests to a place of feeling unsafe, yet being safe. Like peeking through a window to a world you would not want to live in that makes you grateful for what you have. Secondly, the theme of insane asylum gone wrong in itself is not to be blamed, nor is it insensitive to people who are actually mentally ill. That theme plays on the fear of having all your rights taken away and others doing whatever they want to you while you can do nothing about it. That is the scary part of an asylum haunt. If a person is suffering from mental illness, they should relate to it on a personal level from their own perspective and not link it to the public's intolerance about their condition. Mental health is significant and needs to be addressed and taken seriously. None of us are saying anything different. That is not a haunted house. No more than fear of how the public sees your occupation or income or where you live. Should guests be butthurt because the Victorian haunted house they are traversing looks like a rundown apartment they lived in once? No, that would be silly, right? Exactly. The classic Arkham Asylum mythos is taken from a real place, which is terrifying. And it wasn't the only one. Danvers State Hospital in Danvers, Massachusetts was the setting of actual horrors and crimes against humanity. Experimental treatments, rampant criminal neglect, torture, understaffed with inadequate supervision, underbudgeted, experimental surgeries, not to mention rape and prostitution out on its patients. All the horrible things you would never want to happen to someone happened there for real. Patients had no control, no appeal like they do today. You were an item to collect a check either from the government or from a private account. Sure, some doctors tried to cure and help, but there were no real methods then. In Victorian times, when Danvers and other institutions were created, a husband could commit his wife to an asylum due to the effects of menopause, for example. She would have no say in the matter, just shipped off until he couldn't pay anymore.
Whoa, stop right there.
Those days are gone, but the horror of that is not forgotten, and these are the fears we prey on when you see an asylum haunt or a prison haunt. You and I are terrified at a subconscious level to be manipulated in such a way and will run or fight to avoid it.
Run as fast as you can, Caddy. I'm a gingerbread man!
Now, the real scary part about these and many themes is at the heart of what fear is. having to watch while things are done to and around you with no power to control or change it. Like alien abduction stories, for example. This is another reason why clowns are such a phobia. Their faces look smiley and happy, but you have no idea what is going on behind that smile. And that camouflage is something that our animal brain says, do not believe it. That could be danger. Hence, it's scary. All you need to do is create an environment where the guest may not have that control or feel like they have that control, and then you've got them. But be sure to let them off the hook, so to speak, before they leave, or the illusion and release of endorphins doesn't happen. That relief is what brings the smiles, the shared stories of, did you see that? And the social media hits that have become an important part of our business. Scare them, freak them out, then let them laugh. Success.
It was like somebody literally wrote down my worst nightmare and then charged me $32 to see it.
Well, look at the time. Okay, we'll wrap up this segment for now. In future episodes, we'll talk about more aspects of professional haunting, their methods, philosophies, how-tos, and so much more. But I see our moments here are up, and so until the next time, be safe. This is Wick Ed Gannon, www.somethingwickedproductions.com, saying, have a wicked day!
Scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.